from the lies on one hot.
I knew that wasn't going to sound too good. Hopefully, I'm going to get that fixed by next week. Because there is some kind of bot program that you can install on this thing that plays music for everybody to hear. So maybe I can get a little better at that, because I've kind of missed. I missed Zoom, because Zoom, the music played good and entertained y'all. But for the time being, I just had to kind of keep my mouth shut to. We can figure some things out, but hey, man, God is good. Amen. Y'all give me an amen if y'all can hear me good enough. But just make sure all this is working. Okay, no problem, man. Well, I don't know what happened to a few of our MIAs. Toby was here and he left, but he hadn't showed up. And Fred's kind of MIA right now, so there were a few others that was going to show up here tonight and. Well, who knows? I mean, you know, at least y'all are here, so at least y'all get to hear a message. So I feel sorry. I see Orthodox showed up, but she's not in the right room yet. So, you know, if somebody can tell her, she has to join the sermon audio room. But, you know, other than that, folks, I want you to know that it's Friday night, and I'm sure glad that you're here because, again, I am excited about this message. It's another one that was laid on my heart. And this message came from something that I just recently went through, you know, and it kind of involved the server a little bit, but I've been talking with a friend of mine, and we've been kind of, you know, hitting idea back and forth about submitting to God. What do we do with God? Do we follow His will? Do we understand His will? Sometimes, you know, we have to make decisions. Sometimes we have to do things, you know what I mean? We go on and on and on, and this is why, you know, I started thinking about what was said when I had some time off from this, when I took this thing down, because I had to end up getting away from it. You know, there was so much going on, and it was just so much turmoil, you know, I couldn't get what I call the clarity of the mind. I couldn't get my total peace, you know. So, you know, basically, I was just going to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I was just going to get away from it, you know, and just focus my mind on something else. And what I did, I stayed away from all social media and the radio and the internet and all this other stuff, you know, and all I did was just sat, read, and think. And I'm going to tell you, I got some good, clear clarity. I know maybe you can understand where I'm coming from, but it's wonderful when you get to that point, a total, absolute peace. Clear clarity. I mean, your mind is so clear, free from clutter, free from noise. You basically hear a small, still, silent voice from God. And that's what happened to me. So I got some clarity, you know. So again, I was going to press forward. And a couple of folks asked me, you know, I was trying to get them to get Zoom installed last week. And they were having issues. They couldn't get it to work on their computer. And one said, well, what was wrong with this thing? You know, why can't we just use it? You know, and even RW, she admits, you know, this is a lot more easier with the Bible bot than the Zoom. And I was thinking, ugh, I really don't have no intention to try and start up another server again. I don't want to fool with it. But, you know, I thought about, well, I can make this thing just private for close friends and maybe we can just try that. And I have to admit, you know, this is easier than the Zoom. You know, I don't know if y'all can agree with it, but give me an amen if you agree with this is easier than the Zoom. If not, you can give me a nay, you know, whichever one. But at least I know this is working, right? I know someone's going to agree with me because they love the Bible bot. So it's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. Yeah, they do. They have both bad qualities and good. But it's Friday night, folks, and y'all know what that means. You know, maybe a few others will trickle in a little bit later on. Who knows? But again, we're back to another wonderful message, and this one spoke to me while writing it. I hope that it speaks to you. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully, and I'm sure that you may agree with this, and you may have heard this. I have ran across many people. And many people in my conversations throughout the world and here in real life in town. And I've seen something similar like this on TV. But people often make what I call strange claims concerning the will of God. God told me, Mostly, it's the common phrase frequently used and accepted behavior among the professed people of God. I'm sure that you have heard that. I'm sure you heard people say, well, God told me. God told me to say this. God told me to come to you. God told me. Well, you know, I will say this much. If somebody comes to you and said, God told me, I think you better get a little bit iffy about that. Because a lot of people make claims, well, God told me to come talk to you, RW. God told me to come talk to you, Orthodox. God told me to come talk to you, Bethlehem. And I stop people right there in the tracks and say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not too keen on that. Because, again, God speaks to everybody. So why does God need to go tell someone else to come tell me something? No. But that is a common phrase used among professing Christians today. And the other one she just posted in her, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, God speaks to us, folks. He speaks to you personally. But we have to be at that particular point of hearing that small, still, silent voice. Oh, well, we have to be as what I call clear calmness, or that clarity. You know, we hear God's voice, but we have to be in that position to listen to it. And however, there are occasions anyone can say with certainty, and I'm sure that you can agree with me on this because I have said it myself, there are occasions that anyone can say with certainty, this is the will of God. Now, I'm saying that because a lot of times I know that I know that I know this is the will of God. Now, I'm not going to say this is the will of God for you. I will not say that. But it's something that when I'm dealing with things, trying to work through things, you know, seeking his voice, listening to him, reading scriptures and whatnot, I know beyond certainty that this is the will of God for me. And sometimes you got to be careful because you can make it into the will of God if you want it bad enough. We got to be careful with that. See, the claim to me, folks, is possible because for those who knows the word of God, if there are occasions when God has spoken quite clearly to reveal his will through what has been written. In such instance, we are very foolish to ignore what is written. Folks, we are very foolish to ignore what is written in the Word of God. So my question is tonight, you know, and I was thinking about this, so why are we so dumbfounded in knowing the will of God? And I think you're going to understand when I get a little bit into this. Why are we so dumbfounded in knowing the will of God? Well, to me, I thought of this. Humans tend to demand what I call the mystical and deeply intellectual. If the truth is too simple, we don't believe it, or we believe it half-heartedly. Somewhat like when we say that something is so easy that it is hard. The reason it's so hard that we as humans have what I call muddy the waters. We somehow or another have put our own little twist into that. And Christ, if you really study the scriptures, Jesus himself said that we needed the faith of a child to be saved. We should also walk with that childlike faith to do his will. That's simple. You want to know the will of God? You have to walk the childlike faith. But like I said, we tend to mess it up. We tend to make it harder. We tend to kind of throw things around into it. Or we tend to throw these monkey wrenches into it. But me, folks, I believe, and this is me, that he wrote his words so children could understand it. Now, you might be thinking about that, like, what? Yep. I firmly believe that he wrote his words so that children could understand it. We are, what I say, at our most mature state when you and I return in a childlike faith and obedience to that word. If we're willing to obey God, folks, we will be in what I call a childlike faith to hear his word, to understand his word, and know what the word of God is. So that way, if we're seeking his will in our lives, it's going to be revealed. So if you got your Bible with you tonight, she'll post it for you in the room for you to read. We're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, one verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That simple. No need to complicate it. No need to muddy it up. No need to mess it up. Just that simple. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, we come to you tonight. Father, there's some who has not shown up here tonight. I don't know what reason it may be. Maybe they got distracted. Satan's good at that. Satan's good at getting people's ways to hear the message. You know, man, it's becoming rough, and more Christians are getting caught up in turmoil and this and that and the world and distractions and who you name it. I mean, it just seemed like the heat's being turned up and he's trying to pull us away from the word of God. But God, I'm asking of you right now, if there's anything within my heart I have not confessed to you before the start of this message, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I ask of you to bless those three who are here tonight. Father, they took time to be here. They could have been doing something else. They probably could just, nah, I'm not going to worry about it. But yet, they made a choice. They made a choice to come here. And Father, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about, you know, what kind of preacher I am or whatever. I never make claims to that, Father. It's about the message. And I hope that, you know, others who come here and others who may listen to this may get something out of this message. I know at times when I re-listen to it, it speaks to my heart. So I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them. Give them strength. Give them courage. Put a hedge of protection around them and watch over them and let them know, do not fret, do not worry, I am with you. Father, we praise you, we glorify you, and all of us say in the name of Jesus, amen. Let me grab my water. Good old H2O, I love that, folks. Welcome, Heavenly Bound, I'm glad to see you. The title of our message tonight, my friends, is God's Will or Ours. And like I said, I've been talking to some friends, I've been talking a lot, and y'all four in here, I've been talking to a lot of you, and believe it or not, y'all do give me a lot of wisdom. You may not think it when I talk to you in conversations in this chat room in the main, or sometimes when I talk to you in direct messages, but a lot of times I listen to what you say, and a lot of times it causes me to think, and I go to the Lord, and I start seeking his wisdom, and I start seeking his will. I start looking for him for answers, and I start thinking, you know what? So-and-so said something the other day, Lord, it kind of really made sense. What do you think? You know, so I get engaged in conversations. Just like when I was cutting grass today, I was praying for all of y'all, and I was talking to God, you know, and I was waving my arms, and still people in this trailer park might think I'm a little bit kooky, you know, riding a lawnmower, throwing my hands up in the air, but, you know, I do that. And that's why I was thinking, you know, okay, God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? And sometimes, like I said earlier, we have to be in that position, in that silent stillness to hear that voice. And too many times in many conversations with fellow Christians, and I'm sure that you probably have engaged in this too, but many times in conversation with fellow Christians, the topic of knowing God's will usually pops up. Somebody will say something like this, and you may have heard certain questions such as, and I hear this a lot, well, Jim, how do I know His will for me. Or, I wish I knew His will in my life. Or another one, Jim, I cannot seem to understand His will for me. Or here's the greatest classic of all, folks. I wished God would show me His will on what to do. Have any of you ever heard that? I'm sure that you have. And maybe we have asked that question ourselves. I have. I know I have. And I asked a quite a lot of this question. God, I wish You would show me Your will on what to do. And then we think, why all these questions? Why all the confusion of knowing God's will, which seems to scatterbrain us? I mean, when we try to start focus and trying to seek direction, God, what is Your will in all of this? It just seems like it just scatterbrains us. That's the word I used. It just seems like it throws you all over the place. And you start getting like what I call these little fraidy cats, you know, you're here and there and that and this, and you know, oh, I heard this song, yeah, that's it. But then you read it, oh, no, wait a minute, that scripture was it. But then someone tells you something, oh, wait a minute, but that was it. But then all of a sudden you look up in the sky, oh, wait a minute, but that was it. Well, wait a minute, which was it? You see where I'm going with this? Too many times we frustrate ourselves trying to understand what the will of God is. I do. I've beaten myself up more times than I can shake a stick at when trying to figure out what is Your will in all this, Lord. Well, to be honest here, folks, what I have seen that too many Christians appear to have the characteristics of both Jews and Gentiles. That's right. When I see Christians struggling like this, they generally show me the characteristics of Jews and Gentiles. We want to have what I call those twittering feelings or lightning bolts to hit us to know that God is speaking to us. We want that. And I was telling someone this morning in this chat, you know, I said a lot of times I'm reading Numbers right now, and, you know, I was reading about all these people complaining about, and I was loving the passages about, you know, God leads them by a pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire by the night. And I was sitting here thinking, well, God, why don't You do that today? But I was quickly reminded what Jesus said, there shall be no more signs given like in the days of Jonah. So that was my answer. You know, okay, again, you know, I wish God would show a pillar of fire in front of me right now. Hey, this is Him. But it doesn't. We have to trust the Holy Spirit, folks. But what we have to do, we have to place ourselves in that position to hear a still small voice. And sometimes it may take, you know, I'm not going to deal with Facebook today. I'm not going to fool with my iPhone today, or Android phone, whatever kind of phone you got. I'm not going to get on the internet today. I'm not going to turn on the television today. I'm just going to go sit somewhere and be alone, me and God, and meditate. I think we all need that from time to time, folks. I sure did last week when all this was going on. I was so scatterbrained, I could not even focus. You know what? I need some me time, Lord. And you know what? My plans was, I was quitting all this. I was getting away from it. I have dealt with social media for the last, 14 years, for the last 10 years of dealing with chat room stuff, that the drama of this thing is just too much. Lord, I thought this was Your will, but apparently it's not. You know what? I'm done with it. But instead of me going on my phone and playing on the computer and reading my emails and watching television, I said, God, it's going to be me and You. I need some answers. What to do? And yet, folks, God is often that still, small voice when you put yourself in that position. We want to find, really, some deep hidden secret in the Word to astonish our minds, to understand, and to know what God has meant this verse for us. when you're reading the word, you want to be astonished by it. You want to know, hey, you know, what is this verse meaning to me? Is this you speaking to me? Well, let me say this, friends, and please pay attention to it. God does not want us to skim over his words and miss out on what he is really trying to tell us. Some people I have encountered, they take the Bible out and they start flipping the page. Well, I'm going to find God's will for me. I'm going to find it. And they see that verse. Nope. Okay. Well, nope. 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 And they see that verse. Nope. Nope. And see, they're skimming. Sometimes many folks try to do that just to justify what they are doing. That's not the right way of doing things, folks. Whenever you're dealing with something, whatever you're troubled, whatever you're having hardships, whatever you're having pains, or whatever difficulties you got, first thing first, go to your prayer closet. Go to your prayer closet. And after that, take the word out. And let the Lord lead you and just meditate on what the word speaks to you. Let it meditate to you. Let it speak to you. Because when we do that, we got to be careful we do it the right way and not the wrong way. Because again, the wrong way, we can justify in our minds, hey, this is the way we want it. Or we can justify our wants and decisions. We can make it into that. But is that the right way? We must be open to his will with clear clarity in our lives in order to know that his revealed truth and not what we think. And sadly, our biggest problem is we are just too, what I call, will-filled in our flesh to see that we are to be slaves to Christ. Yes, joint heirs, the sons of God, but slaves nonetheless when it comes to our present life. So for us to fully understand the real will of God in our lives, we must ask. Please, folks, hear me on this. If you want to understand the real will of God in your lives, we must ask ourselves the brass tacks questions. And by the way, folks, I got that from a friend I met here online, and he uses that phrase a lot. And me and him's been talking, and he's really kind of showed me some of the things because I like what he deals with because he's in the field. He is dealing with all kinds of spirits that you can think of. He is in the grid of it. He is in the nitty-gritty. I mean, he is doing things that just blows my mind. But, you know, he made a good point. You know, he says, Jim, what you need to understand, and you must not be afraid to ask the brass tacks questions, but you have to be honest in your heart. Who is this for? Me? Or is it for God? So if you want to know God's will, you better ask yourself the honest question, and God, let your will be done, but let me see it the right way instead of my way. And folks, what this is boiling down to, what I'm saying right here, are you willing to ask the real and deep questions and to find out, does it line up with the will of God and not what we are wanting? Are you willing to ask those deep and real questions? Are you ready to ask him, God, does this line up with your will and not what I am wanting? And be honest when you do that. And be not afraid, because you may find some answers you may not like. I found some I didn't like. But I told God, okay, I see it. We're going to make this right. This time, let your will be done in this. And I'm also speaking about this server, folks, because I had to ask him that question. I had no intentions of, you know, coming back to this. But yet, with that clear clarity, he showed me, Jim, you were in it for yourself. You were trying to make this into something. You was trying to build this into something. You was willing and so desperate to do anything, you were not ready to listen to me. That's what I saw, folks. And I looked up to the ceiling and I said, okay, God, let your will be done with this. And let's see where it goes. So tonight, folks, we're going to cover what I call four serious questions that I got out of my things in the last 2.5 weeks of dealing with all this online and real life stuff, too. I had two things going on. A lot of it was the social media stuff. But tonight, we're going to ask four serious questions that all of us, I think, should challenge ourselves to ask when we are seeking the will of God. And the first question I think you should ask yourself, are we willing to follow it? Are we willing to follow it? And all of us should know the story in the Bible, folks, when I start to talk about it, of the one person who had to make a choice and follow God's will. Listen to the words here in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 2. He had to make a choice. He had to listen to the words of God. And it says, now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And verse 2 says, and he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow. Mind blower, isn't it? Now, can you imagine? Picture this. Can you imagine when Abraham was 100 years old, God finally gave him and Sarah a son of promise, Isaac? And with Isaac came the fulfillment of the covenant between God and Abraham. And with that fulfillment, the blessings of God. And now God throws this at him? Are you kidding me? After all that, now God throws this at him? Can you imagine what he was thinking? Whoa. Folks, I don't know about you, but wow. That was a shocker to hear God telling him this. And most likely, you and I would probably think something like this. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but you know, let's just say this was you. You would probably think, no way, Jose. Why would you do this to me, God? Why would you do this to me after all this time? And not only that, this is my only child. Why? I don't think, folks, I can imagine anything that would cause more hurt or more despair. I really don't. In a very real way, this is what Abraham was having to wrestle through. That poor guy, man, I just can't fathom what he was thinking at that time. I just can't. See, in a very real way, this is what Abraham was wrestling with the whole time. He didn't have the luxury of knowing how this story was going to end. He didn't. Isaac was his only son. His only son. God desired for Abraham to give him, which Abraham treasured the most, his promised son. Folks, knowing God requires you and I to lay everything on the altar of sacrifice, it begins with a complete and total reunification of our dreams, desires, and maybe even your identity. Only those who are serious about their relationship with God will ascend this mountain. Now, I had to pause on this, and I had to come up and I had to think about this seriously. Now, the real question God had for Abraham in that moment is the same question he has for you and me today. Same question. And here's what he's saying to you and I. Do you trust me? Do you want to know me? Do you treasure me above all things? Do I have your heart? Do I have those things? Do I? And what we see that Abraham, he walked by faith. He was going where God had called him to go and doing what God told him to do. Surrender. Obedience. The journey to knowing God begins with a choice, my friends. Just one step of faith. This is how Abraham made it up that mountain. And this is what will get us up that mountain also. If you want to experience and know God, my friends, it starts by surrendering your entire life to God's will and to His Word. This isn't an easy decision or journey for any of us. It's not. I'm speaking from the heart, folks. This is not an easy decision or journey for all of us. The temptations as we ascend this mountain is to focus on what are we giving up or what are we called to sacrifice. We focus on that a lot, don't we? I do. I get into a bad habit of doing that. And if we fall into this trap, if we fall into that trap, it will only stall our progress up that mountain. The way of wisdom, my friends, is to put our focus on God and trust Him one step at a time, one day at a time. But we can't forget the dramatic conclusion of this story that we just read. It all worked out in accordance to God's will for Abraham. And guess what, my friends? Guess what? The same is no different for us. I don't care what position you are in right now. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care the problems that you have. Folks, if you think about this, it all works out at the end because it's in God's will. It's in His will. The second point for tonight. Okay, I thought about that one. The second point is, what about our plans and wants? Hey, what about my plan? What about my wants? Okay, I understand what you're saying, Jim, that God has His will and His wants and His ways. But what about me? I'd be willing to say that all of us has asked that question. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered, what is God's plan for me? I thought about that this morning. God, what is your plan for me? And as a Christian, of course, you want to make decisions according to God's will. But what happens when you just don't know which way God wants you to go? Sooner or later in life, everybody has to make some decision. Everybody has to make some decisions. Such as, oh, what college do I go to? Whom should I marry? Should I move here? Should I move there? Should I step away from people in my life? See, folks, that list can go on and on and on. And as the questions grow bigger and more life-challenging, shouldn't God's answers and plans for our lives be clearer and clearer as well? If I want to do His will, shouldn't it be easier to see God's plan for me? Shouldn't it? It can be difficult to see God's plan, and I know which road to take. You pray to God and you ask for help, but there are often no prophetic dreams. no visions, no strong feelings leading you one way or the other, it can seem like, at times, that God is just not answering you at all. And many Christians struggle with this. They struggle with this because we almost expect a loud voice from heaven when we talk to God. That's how we want to hear him, don't we? All complete with trumpets and a burst of sunlight. Oh, we want that. But guess what? God doesn't necessarily work that way. He doesn't work that way. A still, small, silent voice. That's how God works. And often, he whispers instead of shouts. And the way we practice listening, folks, is to go in faith and do everything before his face. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why doesn't God just speak to me from the clouds or something? Why? Why doesn't he speak to me that way? Well, I got an answer for you in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, folks. Here's your answer. If you ever wondered that, why does God not speak to me from the clouds or something else? Well, here's the words. Colossians 3:23 says this. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not men. Right there, black and white. This is the key point, folks. It isn't always so important what we do, but why and how we do it. The main point should be, are you doing it wholeheartedly because you want to please the Lord? Or are there a few selfish reasons behind your decisions? Are there a few selfish reasons behind your decisions? And that's why I say, folks, when you are at this particular point, whenever you are really seeking the answer to know God's will, again, you got to be ready to ask that hard brass tacks question. And I'm using that phrase a lot because I'm going to use it a lot thanks to my friend. And you got to be ready to stand before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And you better be ready for an honest-to-goodness answer. Don't try to make one up in your mind and convince yourself, hey, that's the answer from God. Hey, that's the answer from God. Don't try to run the scriptures and say, hey, that's an answer from God. You better do this for the Lord. You better do this for him and not of yourself. You start doing it in yourself and your will, guess what, my friends? It ain't going to happen, Captain. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be met with disastrous results. Humble yourself before the Almighty God and let him direct your paths. Let him. The third point for tonight, my friends, is a knowing God's will or yours. And I'm sure that you can relate to this one. Does it line up with his plans? Really, Jim? That's right. Does it line up what his plan is? See, I left that little part out, but that's why I said it again to trip you up. Does it line up with his plan is? And if you are interested in knowing what God has in store for you, then you first must begin to be a true follower of his. You need to start your journey as a Christian by cultivating your relationship with him. You must seek God with genuine desire to truly know him and what he can do for you and not for selfish desires. You can cultivate that relationship by reading the Bible, doing daily devotions, praying, attending church, surrendering yourself to the Spirit. Folks, you can do all these things to Him. And by creating this relationship with Him, you first begin the steps towards Him, revealing His plans for you. When you do all these things, when you submit yourself to His authority, when you get to that little still, quiet place, then, my friends, you are starting the first step towards Him, revealing His will towards you. Now, make note of this. It is important to pay attention how God has wired you. That's right. He wired us in all different ways. God has created you for a specific role in the world that no one else can achieve. Each one of us has a different role that God has created for us. Each one of us. How I know this? Well, look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And folks, God has gifted each one of us with specific abilities to perform tasks and missions for which we alone are created. When you seek to discover God's will, my friends, look at the talents and the skill sets that He has blessed you with. Look at them. Look at the talents and skill sets He's blessed you with. His plans for you would directly correlate with those gifts. You see where I'm going with this? It's asking that hard question. I just know the Chris was in here in the room. It's asking that hard brass tacks question, friends. Are you willing to do it for the glory of God and not yourself? And be ready for the truth answers to that. Don't make it into something you think is going to be, you know, God's will. Because we can get in terrible, terrible shape if we allow that to happen. He's given you the abilities. He's given you the talents. Use them in the right way. Be a good steward of those abilities. And be open to His will. And the fourth point of the night, the last one, and I thought about this long and hard when I went through all this recently in the last 2 weeks, to find my peace with God. And this came to me. Are we willing to submit to His will? Do you understand that? I challenge everybody here tonight. Are you willing to submit to His will? Are you? No matter how fervent our desires and requests, the Lord does not always respond the way we choose. Now, I'm not trying to blow your mind up and throw a rope-a-dope on you folks, but you better be ready, because no matter how fervent your desire and your quest, no matter how badly you may want it, the Lord does not always respond the way you think. And sometimes, my friends, His answers to our petitions are, in reality, the very opposite of what we sought. And yet, He always has our best interests at mind. See, when Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29, listen to what He said. You want to see what I'm saying? This is what He said in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29. This is when He said, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, He added, and take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Don't go learn from some Dalai Lama. Don't go learn for some book, Christians for Dummies? Oh, don't go running some crazy evangelist on television. Learn from the real deal, Jesus Christ himself. And what he really means in this passage, if you really look at it, coming from our Lord, this is what he means. Come to our Lord in acceptance and prayers. Listen to this very carefully. Also, yielding to his yoke, we, you and I, must submit to where he leads us and what he commands of us, even if he sends us in a direction we don't want to go. Scary thought, isn't it? You think about that one. When you are seeking his will, you must submit to where he is going to lead you and how he's going to command you. And even if he sends you off into a direction you don't want to go, be obedient, obey, and go. I'm not trying to brag on my brother here tonight, but I admire him because like he told me in our conversation, he sold everything and he went out to the missionary work. After he told me that, I sat the rest of the night thinking in my living room, wow. You're talking about he was following the will of God. How many of us in this room actually can say that we would do that? How many of us can do that? Sell everything you got and go. It's not easy, isn't it? You see, folks, yielding to the will of God is simply letting his Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. Continuing prayer allows us to be filled with the Spirit as God commands us. As God commands us. And Scripture also declares in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Look at what it says. Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. It says that God's will for us is to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, and if we yield, we will continually be filled with the joy and thanksgiving in the Spirit. And in doing so, folks, we will submit to his will with no questions asked. None. If you submit to it, if you decide to obey his will, you will do so joyfully. You will pray continuously, and you will give thanks in all circumstances. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Grab some water. My throat is drying up as always. I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight, folks. And I had to think about this hard because, like I said, when I was dealing with this stuff from last week and the week before, what is the end results of trying to understand God's will for you? And how do you make your decision? What is the end results of you trying to understand God's will for you? And how do you make your decisions? Here's where I was led to. You need to ask yourself these three questions. One, is it good? Two, is it acceptable? And three, is it perfect? Before you jump into a foolhardy decision, before you even convince yourself that it is God's will that I do this, ask yourself, is it good? Is it acceptable? And is it perfect? If the answer seems to be yes, then do it. If the answer seems yes, then do it. Prove What is God's will? Test it. Test it. He who seeks will find. He who seeks will find. And whatever the outcome, when looking back, you may find that what you did was actually tainted and with a belt. When you look back on that decision, you may find that what you did was actually tainted with a bit of self-seeking and some demands on others and so on. In other words, my friends, this was not for God. This was not according to God's will. And yet you made your decision in faith with a desire to serve God. We all do that. We all convince ourselves, oh, I'm doing this for the glory of God. Oh, God, I'm doing this for you. I caught myself with this thing. God, I'm doing this for you. But in reality, I was doing this for me. I wasn't doing it for God. I wanted to show my friends, look, boy, we're going to build us a real nice server. We're going to get ourselves a big community. We're going to do whatever it takes. Even if I got to compromise, I'll do it. And did I get a wake-up call from God on that big time or what? Because I realized when I asked myself the brass tacks question, Jim, that's not for me. I don't know who it's for, but it ain't for me. And I sat here in dread like, oh, wow, really? But see, folks, what I'm trying to get at, that's why God can show you how you could have done it better, where you should have given up your own will. Go back and fix things. Ask for forgiveness and set things right. It is this that is God's will for us and His plan for our lives that we learn in humility, total humbleness. If I did this and it was not in accordance to His will, then Lord, we're going to make it right. And then whatever your path leads afterwards, then so be it. And because of this, we learn in humility that we learn how to live as a disciple of Christ. The revelation comes in an unexpected way, by showing you your mistakes, but because you are seeking to do God's will, you, my friends, use it to be transformed. Use it to be transformed. This is the renewing of your mind, the clarity, the peace you seek. And I want you to know a disciple is not one that knows everything and can do everything perfectly the first time. We all make mistakes, including me. The life of a disciple means following Jesus, the Master, and learning from Him. It means listening for God's voice every day. Every day, and striving to be well-pleasing to Him. Y'all should know that verse, Hebrews 11:6, I believe that's it, said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, by faith, you better be pleasing God. And you better be striving to meet that mark. You better be striving to be well-pleasing to Him. I'm not trying to scare nobody here tonight but it's going to come a day. You're going to stand before the Almighty, and you're going to have to give an account of everything you have said and done, of the way you acted as a Christian. You will. You will. And in this way, when you do that, when you're striving to be more pleasing to Him, we will daily find more and more of this. I should have done things better. God, I should have done things better. God, I should have done things better. Give me the strength and the wisdom to humble myself and do it better next time, please. So next time, I put to practice what God's voice told me to do and do it better. I'm becoming more like my Master day by day. Folks, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. So what is a disciple called to do? In all honesty, you think about that question. Here's another brass tacks question. I'm going to throw that at you a lot. Kristen got me started on something, but what is a disciple called to do? I don't know, Jim. After I get through with this, y'all think about that tonight. What is a disciple called to do? And be honest with your answer. Well, no matter where we go, we will find opportunities, my friends, to hear God's voice and to do His will. You will. You will find those opportunities to hear His voice and to do His will. We will find our own life, our anger, our pride, our stubbornness, self-seeking. And by putting these things to death, we are transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And in this way, we are doing His will and not ours. Let His will be done and not ours. Put yourself aside. Die to yourself. Seek Him and His kingdom. Seek His glory. Who is this for? Who is it for? Friends, this is God's perfect plan, both you and me, that we become free. We become free from the way that we are and be transformed into Jesus' own image. That's what we should be set free from. That's His perfect plan for you. That's His plan for you, my friends. Don't you get it? Isn't that a hopeful gospel? Isn't it? You really can't go wrong, folks. You cannot go wrong in following His will. Amen. Let's pray.